Hey everybody, welcome to Nexus at Night, your weekly Vanguard podcast, brought to you by our patrons at, here, I'm Atlas.
I'm Matt.
I'm Rupier.
And, Cole. Yep, our guest today is, Cole, the $10 patron Cole, we're gonna talk about some stuff, because this is now, we're testing a perk for the $10 patrons, which is you get an episode of Nexus at Night to yourself. It can be about whatever topic you want, within reason. We're not gonna, come on and start talking about, how to Rickroll people effectively. Not doing that shit.
Don't use the original link, that's one.
Yeah.
People just know that one.
Yeah, people have gotten to the point where they've just memorized the YouTube link for that.
Oh my god.
It used to happen way too often. And you can't get, we can't reward the low effort ones, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. No, the worst one is when it's hidden in another video, right there.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Where it's 10 seconds of, I don't know, some a how-to video, and then it turns into a Rickroll.
Well, I mean, I guess we could talk about the Rickrolling in Vanguard, where you flip up the Bastion starter, and then you go into in a Blaster Javelin.
I would be so ecstatic.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, easy win, easy win.
Yeah. That deck isn't real.
I know I have it, and I don't ever plan on
using it. I have it too.
Tournament.
I have it. For some reason, I decided to have every Keter deck and then not play the good one.
Jesus.
The cards look cool, though.
They do.
I like the framing of the encounter cards a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I only got mine out of obligation because, well, way back when, during Phantasmal Steed, we opened an XVR Blaster Dark, so.
Oh. Yeah. That looks nice. That's nice art on that.
I got mine because I was buying playsets of all the Keter stuff anyways.
God, Mordred was so sweet.
Yeah, I agree. I had it for a really long time.
It just felt awesome playing that deck. With the grade 3 that if you have 3/4 gifts gives the
Oh my god, I don't remember his name.
Danger Lunge.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Broke my heart to sell it, but it sold for a lot.
Yeah, and no, I understand. There's a lot of VRs in that deck.
Was that why you liked Angerblader so much? Because it was kind of the same thing as Mordred?
Me?
Yes.
I liked Angerblader because it was really, really stupid.
Yeah. Why you ride grade 3 this? And you're just alright, game's over now.
Why is my opponent dead if they didn't even get to play the game?
That's how I felt playing a Messiah. This dumb grade 4? Cool.
Oh, yeah. If you can
find yeah.
It, as long as the things go right, you're alright, perfect. The X kind of felt that way, too.
Yes.
Or the, yeah.
I never play good decks no matter what era of the game, so.
I do dislike playing, the best deck, but, sometimes the good decks are hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My perpetual comfortable spot in the meta is B-, always. medium to medium plus. That's where I'm comfortable.
Says this guy who owns Great Nature.
Yeah.
I started with OTT in the middle of G era. I've never been into good decks.
That's true.
Whoa. OTT got really nice stuff, though.
Yeah, but that was, towards the end of G.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they banned one of them. And then...
I remember us talking about OTT needing, absolutely broken cards in order to,
mm-hmm.
have a fighting chance.
And then they did it.
And we're oh, okay.
I believe Murakumo had the same thing going on for a while. Matt, if you're wondering, it doesn't make any sense that he'd be... I'm literally wearing a bathrobe right now, so it's... I am perpetually in the medium to medium minus.
I see.
Yeah.
Ironically enough, I don't know if I have space to talk about good decks, because I was a Chaos player through and through.
Nice.
Well, so I have to kill you, Cole. That's how that works.
I knew you were going to say something. Because I know I've heard so much about how you hate Chaos.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have as much of a problem with Link Joker, despite playing decks that, quote, lose to Link Joker more, end quote. I don't know.
if it helps, I never actually got to play it because I started playing right before V started. So.
Oh, no.
Yep.
That was when they started.
Oh, cool. I bought a Gurgit deck for $120. Oh, what? I can't use it? Cool.
That's sad. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Woof.
Yeah.
I think what bothers me the most about Chaos, not the actual locking mechanic, though that is a pain, it's the they constantly kept finding different ways to either lock even if your board was empty or just make the locks almost impossible to deal with. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Chaos Deluge is great. It's a great stride.
Kill me.
I love that he puts a lock card into your damage zone. It's great.
Oh, my God. That's annoying. The just ripping them out of your hand. Like, they took such good care for Noob Automata to not do that. Chaos is like, yeah, whatever. Just rip a card out of your hand.
No, they didn't.
Did you read Jami Okongo out of curiosity?
Before that. Like, around that time.
Remember Shiranui? When it just said, dominate two cards from your hand?
Yeah.
What good times.
Did it call them and dominate them, or just dominate them?
Yeah, you just call two cards, can't activate your effect, and then they get dominated.
Yeah, that's why they choice restricted it, right?
Yeah, and they and they get 10k, I think.
Oh my god. I think that was GB3 or something. I gotta look again.
They choice restricted that in Jami Okongo because
Really stupid.
Yeah.
Like, all right, you have four cards in your hand, and I'm gonna take out two more. Thanks.
Oh my god.
Yeah, GB3, the dominated units get 10,000 and crit plus one. Oh. I forgot they gained a crit, actually.
Yeah, same.
Oh, they also get 5k from the stride skill, or from the axe skill, so they actually get 15k.
Oh, okay.
And this was back when shields were still 10k.
Oh, man.
Random cards are 5, yeah. What a cool card. What a cool interactive card.
That actually reminded me of a premium game I tried to have with a friend of mine, and he had like a pre-V Messiah deck, and he lost so quickly because his shield value was like abysmal.
Yeah.
If you have like a deck full of grade ones that can search your grade two, go for it.
Yeah.
So. You like Chaos.
Yeah, I love Chaos.
Is there anything else that you like that other people here might not like?
That looks like Chaos.
this is my
segment. That looks like Chaos? I don't know, dude. Deleters are pretty bad.
Oh, everyone has complained about deleters at random times, and I'm like, this deck has done nothing to me.
They've never really been a problem. They're always just, like, sometimes they'll be okay, like, decent, but they've never been, like, a scourge on anyone. They're just like, yeah, they're there.
Nobody I knew ever wanted to buy it because no one wanted to pay, like, $50 for Igorgs.
Right, I forgot about Igorg.
So everyone was
but, like, Igorg wasn't even that good of a stride.
But that didn't matter. It's because I couldn't have this stride, nobody cared. Does that make sense?
Okay, but cards that look like Orphist. Okay, so, I mean, I don't know, Shadow Paladin's pretty
edgy. You already ruined it.
You gave up the ghost, yeah.
No.
No, I know you're ghost. Yeah. Yeah, Orphist.
Yeah, Orphist.
My baby.
Yeah. Weird-looking baby you got there.
Yeah.
I can't speak for myself, but it probably hurt for her. Anyway,
we've made fun of it on this show before.
I think out of anybody, I've got my reticle on Matt's head.
Yep.
About this guy. But like I said, I am not. I'm two things. I'm not one of those people who scream Orphis best deck memes and Vanguardians, and I'm not the person who thought that it was a good deck at set one. I played Bastion in set one, and then in set two, I actually switched to Orphis because it actually became playable, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. He wanted to say Orphis best deck, but couldn't.
The counterblast one make a Shadow Army order is like super necessary.
Yeah,
I disagree. Actually,
really,
definitely.
Because I feel like it's the best in the early game, and I feel like smart people will damage a deny you. So
yeah, that yeah, I just like usually pass on grade two and I'm like, I'm not dealing with that.
and I know a lot of people probably won't agree with me, but I feel like I personally feel like Orphis is a very tempo based deck, and because it doesn't have crits, it doesn't have restanding or anything like that, so it wants to grind you out essentially. That's what the tokens are for. It pluses you, and that's why you don't run any draws, because you need those higher shield value. So anything that you can counter Orphis with helps it. Oh, you want to damage? Deny me? Cool. I take less damage. Oh, you want to only give me one damage? Cool. I've got an order for that. Or like, oh, you want to give me no damage at all? Cool. Some of the orders are Soul Blast 1, so that's fine. You know, like, I guess you can say that about a lot of decks, but I feel like in Overdress, at least, that's the most true for Orphis.
Yeah.
It's that, like, makes sense.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Okay, I guess a better way to tackle this is, why do you think it's not very good?
I think that at least in Overdress, the gap between like the decks that are really really dumb and the ones that are not really really dumb. So I guess by really really dumb, I mean things like Bruce, Loro, etc. I'm like, what's the reason to play this?
I have no experience against Illyrical at all, because like, what, doesn't the trial deck come out this Friday of like in terms of the Bruce matchup, I would say Orphis actually has the strongest counterplay to it, and the fact that with our set two support you're retiring your own tokens, so so Leonard has a lot less pressure to give you, especially with cards like Thumbarino, who turn your who boosts the token, and it's a 38k column.
Sure.
And then retires herself and the token. What is the Leonard going to attack besides your Vanguard? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's a lot easier to do that. And even cards like Alvedurd, after it attacks, it can retire the token behind the Vanguard, so you're not, you know, having to just guard the Vanguard and not the token.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just... like, yeah, there are some counterplay options, but I feel like as long as like you don't give them the free token, basically, it can be, the game kind of goes out a little longer, and then Bruce just generates like a lot of advantage because that deck does like everything.
Because you know, let's say they're like soul charging their Leonards or something dumb, or like they're soul charging a lot of triggers and they have to take a lot of damage, because like the most Bruces I play against seem to take a lot of damage in the early game because they want to conserve hand for their final rush turn.
Yes. Which is always fun when you're playing against someone, you see like two or three Leonards going to damage and you're like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Get in there.
What is it? Yeah, because we have the grade three order that retires and Alvedurd retires, there's ways to like answer them plopping down an Eden or a Leonard on turn three or even turn two. So there's ways to answer it. Like I'm not when I'm playing against Bruce, I'm not trying to make it so that they steamroll me less. Well, I mean I am, but I'm trying to make it so that they have to commit more to their own hand to pressure me more regularly, because then my huge columns, like, they're all at least 30k. My huge columns are asking for two triggers every time. So, eventually, they're not going to be able to guard with all those cards they called. So,
if they're smart, they're probably not putting Leonards down. Like, if you're a Bruce player and you are playing against something that has a retire option, you are saving the Leonard for when Rush is on. I don't think, if you're smart, you're not going to put it down just like for a soul charge, because the column clearing and the calling a thing doesn't happen until you're on Bruce or in Final Rush.
Oh, sure.
So Eden, I can understand. Eden is there for board control, but
yeah,
that's pretty much the only reason that people play that card at this point.
True. I think a lot of
going away next set.
Yeah,
and then there's no reason to play it set three because they get another card that's like kind of good. What the hell?
A Eugene grade two version.
Yeah, Eugene. And then Barrow Magnus gets something at some point in Pink, right? Copium?
No, that's not true, because Barrow Magnus is getting that one, like, grade 2 or grade 1 that gets that puts normal normal units in back into the deck so you don't deck out as much.
Oh, yeah.
I think I
remember their triple R being, like, pretty bad compared to freaking Leonard.
Yeah. See, I hate that you're right, because I forgot what it does.
I believe it's on attack soul charge one, and then when it's in soul, you can soul blast it to give your Vanguard 10k.
Oh, that,
and then
that
you
was
soul charge one.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like a triple rare they're getting in set three.
No,
they
no,
didn't
no.
get a triple they're rare in set
three. I know, that's why. Oh, I guess that's why I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah, that was their set two triple R, which is kind of like a rare from B era.
Right.
It's like a random rare from B era that, and then like a triple R and D.
Do you think the deck will be any better once it gets that new restanding grade 2 in Orphis?
Beat me to it. I was going to ask about the restander.
You have to retire 3 Shadow Armies.
Okay, yes. So here's the thing. He's not a 4 of by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
Way at all.
God, no.
I feel like I max like 2.
I was about to say, I'm going to play 2. And
I feel like that's going to be a late game card for after you Persona Ride.
No, it's your full commit card.
Yeah.
It's your I ran out of Alvedurds and all my Thumbarinas are in the drop zone. And slap this boy down, turn him sideways 2 times, yeah.
Please work.
Please work. Oh my god, on an over-trigger turn, holy.
Yeah.
That boy's...
In your case or your opponent's, because on an over-trigger turn is either a very good thing or a very bad thing.
Oh, in my regard.
Oh, okay, then good.
I don't check the over-trigger late game somehow, because I guess I'm a god, but...
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I always draw it immediately after doing my mulligan, just in my hand.
Or you're player and you soul charge at turn 1. Yep.
There you go.
I like it when I have something to counterblast for on turn 2, and then I take it as my first damage, and then I just, like, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Something else I'm also cool. getting in set 3 that makes it difficult to damage deny is, like, a new grade 1 that searches the top 3 for an order, and then you can soul blast 1 and retire it if you're on turn 3 or after to get a token.
Mm.
So, I mean, I don't know. I just think that the deck does enough to survive through decent final rush turns. Because, like, I'm just going to be the guy who's like, oh, but at my locals, I get first all the time. And because I do, but I'm not gonna pretend like that's a good argument.
Yeah.
Because I think I do. I've got, in my locals, on average, I have a Bruce player, a Zorga player, Seraph Snow, which I think is the hardest matchup Orphis has, an Overdress player, and that's it, I think.
Yeah.
We get more, but it depends.
Like, Prison Stock has just kept going up since set 2.
Oh, yeah.
They got that, like, that middle set that we got that gave them cards that make the deck work.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got set 2, where they actually got cards that were playable.
Yeah.
And like, the good card they got in set 1, which was Aggro Rouge, mm-hmm. is, like, just, like...
Okay,
which is pretty good, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, like, cards that gain shield in a D format specifically are, like, quite nice.
Yep. Mm-hmm. In set 1, there was, like, a few weeks of set 1 Orphis that I played before set 2 came out, and I had the little grade 1 guy who, if you're in Abyssal Dark Knight, he's a 15k shield.
Yeah.
Counterblast. So, yeah, that's true.
It's
God.
Just...
God, rip grade 1 shields, dude. Oh, my God.
Give him 10k!
I definitely believe, like, that was a bad idea.
I know.
I was so sad when I saw triggers were still 10k in D.
Or 15,
like,
you mean?
No, I mean, like, 10k power.
Oh, 10k power, yeah.
I was like, no!
And then they, like, reduced the shield values on everything.
On heals, right?
Yeah.
On heals and grade 1s.
Yeah.
That was so weird.
And then there was also this thing where, like, 10k, like, 10k shields in particular are so weirdly hard to come by. You're like,
yeah.
Okay, like...
They could have at least made, like, draw triggers 10k shield or something.
Maybe?
Something?
I don't know, but it's just funny to me that, like, the Dark States guy that's, like, counterblast 1 for 5k shield, that was played for a time specifically because attacking for 18k power is better, arguably, than attacking for 23. if they haven't taken damage. Because then it forces them to drop a 15k shield or two cards, which is a waste. It's just funny to me.
That's why I think Orphis arguably benefited the most out of the new front triggers, because that was that, 'cause the deck is like a tank. It wants to survive. It doesn't commit much from hand because it's making tokens. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just Neo Nectar, but I don't know, not as aggressive. And I don't know, like, I get why people would think it's not a good deck, but I've survived a lot of turns that people seem to die to, so I don't know if I'm doing anything differently, or, you know what I mean? Like,
I guess...
Oh yeah, because I know this is like a slightly different topic, but like, and I don't think anybody's going to use a tier list argument of like, oh, it's low tier, therefore, you know, there's a reason for it, which I do agree with, but at the same time, I feel like a lot of times with tier lists, they're more over being like, oh, Bruce is the easier deck to pilot and be well with, therefore it shows up more and is higher on the tier list, versus, oh, Bruce is just an objectively better deck kind of thing and wins it, like, at every matchup. You know, like, I know that's not true of everything, but...
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at Dex Sanders' little pie chart thing.
Oh, please don't.
For set three. It is
it bad?
This thing looks like I have glaucoma. It is
the
crazy.
With, after COVID, the Dex Sander pie chart started including, like locals.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And so I really think the quality went down with that. Because then you're just, like, seeing, like...
The most
a
random
a six-person locals top four.
Mm-hmm.
Don't we literally only have locals right now to go off of, though?
Yes.
Right, but that, I mean, but then, like, but now the, but, like, having bad data is, like, more misleading than no data, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
It's just kind of like, yeah, we only have locals, but, like, that doesn't mean that this information is worth anything. And pretending it does because it's the only thing we have is not helpful.
So you'd rather have the, you know, delayed game can be good, but a rush game is forever bad, just with data.
Well, so you have to. So in metagames like this, or in positions like this, and formats where people are just like, where you're just not seeing like a lot of what you're supposed to be doing,
mm-hmm.
This really benefits people who have like strong testing groups. So like, you know, the WCC guys are going to come out well ahead in
vision.
Yeah, whatever they're doing right now.
Yeah, oh, but, I mean, back during when, like, premium, like, nobody was playing premium except on Vision. Like, thank God they even existed to give us something.
Yeah. And, but, like, those people with, like, strong testing teams, or even strong, like, testing, like, groups or Discords or whatever, are just going to be, like, way ahead because they are getting not only, like, testing at, like, they can control who they're playing against, right? And so if you know that you're playing against, you know, like, insert, you know, world competitor here, insert other world's competitor here, like, people are already have tested, like, over half the clans of premium, like, against, like, the, you know, very good players.
Okay, so you mean, like, these, you would rather have tier lists comprised of games that were the most optimal they could have been than people who are, like, still trying to figure out the deck, like, et cetera?
Right.
Okay.
Well, there's that, that's and here. Then also, in these unprecedented times, you know, so, it's just, no one's around, people, like, at least in LA's case, people are leaving town,
yeah.
It's something we haven't seen in a long time in, you know, almost 100 years, if you count the Spanish flu as the closest predecessor,
that's
yeah.
Just the regular one.
I'm not going to tell the story of where the name Spanish flu came from. Google it. It's not it didn't come from Spain. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah, look, I'm just saying that people who don't have anybody to play against except their friends over, you know, Discord or...
Hi.
Yeah, we doing that? soon or what? What's going on?
I'm waiting for the rest of my stuff to arrive.
Gotcha.
I just got some of my OTT stuff. I can, like, re-sleeve my Prism deck if I felt like it.
Hey, okay. if y'all need a buddy, I'm trying to playtest Premium Gavril.
I have many bad spikes lists to play.
I have Nightmare Dolls I want to try. That probably sucks.
Also a very bad Gaia list.
Ooh. Sexy.
It's like very bad.
I also have very bad Aqua Force we could do too. Yeah, mine's like that also.
Gugano Blazer might be the best card in the deck.
Seriously? God damn. Alright.
Fuck. It's very bad.
That says something. We can talk about that after the show. What were we talking about? It was something about Orphis?
Orphis.
Yeah.
He's not bad. Okay, so I'm okay. I'm okay with... So I think the issue I have the most is you saying it's a bad deck. I don't think it... I definitely don't think it's, like, worse. It's better than Magnolia, in my opinion.
All right.
Yes, as of right now.
I also think it's better than Zorga.
I don't think that's a very.
I don't think
that's a very hot take. Okay. Zorga's like really bad, in my opinion.
Okay.
The decks I only truly believe are actively bad in D are Eugene, Zorga, and
PBD.
Barrow, and PBD. Obviously, I keep forgetting PBD exists. Oh, and
okay, everyone does.
Hexorb is probably atrocious. I don't know.
Hexorb's pretty bad. Yeah.
Draconic Overlord.
Draconic Overlord is fine.
Okay. I think it's better than those decks, if that makes sense. Like, significantly.
Okay. I would put Dragonic Overlord
into, like...
there's,
like, bottom, like, five, right? Mm-hmm. And some of the Lyra decks are atrocious, too, but I don't feel like going through all those.
You're right, yep.
And so there are, like, some decks that are just, like, at the bottom of the barrel. Like, no one wants to... No one plays Eugene because it's good. They play it because it's comically bad.
Or there's that guy in my locals who's like, I know I can make it good someday. I will keep grinding. And you're like, relax. Okay?
There's this, like, mentality when people play, like, rogue decks, where they forget that, like, you still have to understand the metagame instead of just, like, brute forcing it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But Vanguard, it's hard to do that because you don't have, like, selection on, like, you know. Like, Yu-Gi-Oh! You have dumb staples, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh my God. I love and hate that.
Yeah,
I love and hate that so much.
It definitely lets you do whatever you want. Like, play almost, like, get away with playing some really dumb stuff. But at the same time...
Oh, yeah. So I remember this at 30 minutes into the conversation... another big thing I wanted to talk about is how you guys often say that cards, and maybe I'm to assume decks the more you say stuff like this, that cards that help you, the cards that make you win, cards that make you not lose, like, you know.
Compared to winning.
And I feel like Orphis has been doing that, like, in strides. Like, it's got no crits, it's got no restanding, but it has big shield, it's keeping card advantage. Like, the only thing it's got going for it aggressively is big columns.
Right.
So it does a lot of not win, but somehow wins. So I don't know what, if that, like, applies to everything, or...
Mm.
You know what I mean?
So there is an amount of, the I guess the magic phrase would be jund them out, right? Where you're just I'm going to basically keep, like, doing haymaker things, right? And my opponent will eventually just be drowned in, you know, my threats just keep showing up and you just don't, right?
What was the term you used? Jund them out?
Jund them out.
It's a magic term.
It's a magic term. So there's a magic deck called Jund, and Jund is, at this point, a very fair green-black-red deck. It plays, like, a bunch of removal, it plays a bunch of creatures and powerful planeswalkers, and pretty much what it does is you just play big thing. First you look at your opponent's hand and take their best card. And then... and then
what, Duress?
Usually Inquisition of Kozilek or Thoughtseize.
Oh, yeah.
Some combination. So you have more decision on what you want to steal, right? And then you just, like, play monster, and then your opponent's like, ah, oh, I must get rid of monster. And you're like, okay, I will get rid of your monster. I will play another monster.
Starting to sound just really familiar.
Right? And then you just do that until your opponent dies. Like, this deck doesn't really have, like, a win con in the natural sense. But it is a very mid-range deck, which Vanguard is pretty much what it... Like, that's most of the decks in Vanguard are that. And so, yeah, in that respect, I think it does fit very well into the plan, right?
Okay, and, like, so at the end of the day, it's not a bad deck. It's just a very mid-tier deck.
Yeah, that's kind of what I just have to counteract all the people who yell Orphis best deck. So I'm a little overly negative on Orphis, if that makes sense.
That is understandable. I will accept that answer, but I don't like you anyway. I'm kidding.
Damn.
Understandable. I don't like you either. You're fine, man. Yeah, it's I'm like overly antagonistic to things that people are like way too positive about.
Yeah.
For like kind of unbasedly, and I'm just like, okay, well, so I apologize about that, and I'm just kind of like, I'm just gonna pretend it's like the worst thing in the world.
Oh, sure. I mean, you could pretend like the people who play Orphis are bad, but like me, you could call me a shitter all you want, but I don't think the deck itself. I don't think it's fair to call the deck itself bad when there are so many other worse decks to beat up on.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like Barrow Magnus.
God, I wish PBD was better. Oh my god.
I know.
My little Ren heart breaks.
I remember playing PBD, PBO back in Boomer Vanguard. That was a time. that deck, by the way, did nothing.
Yeah, you would just be that a cross deck, ride, and that was it.
Literally, I would just not win the game with that deck. You would play against Dote, right? And your goal would get, like, in the Dote matchup back then, your goal was to not deal 6 damage to your opponent, but deck them out. So you would purposely let them hit you with Dote just to see if they'd activate the effect.
Oh, so Seraphs. No, I see.
And if they activate the effect, now you're ahead on cards in deck.
Oh, no, that's not right. What was that dumb Omega Colony deck that literally tried to deck the opponent out?
Was there one of those? I remember, what is that card's name?
Gunning Coleo.
Gunning Coleo. I always played, I remember playing that and like, you know, running, you, of course, the only way the deck wins the game is by milling properly on Gunning Coleo and playing Antlion.
Yeah.
And Phantom Black.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
And sometimes you just never mill the correct card with Gunning Coleo, and so you were never allowed to win the game. Mm-hmm. Like, I've played games against Meg Colony where they just had 15 cards in hand from, like, turn 3, and they just never won the game because they never milled properly on Gunning Colony.
Or they were playing, or you played against Mega Colony and you were a Gold Paladin and you died every time.
Oof.
Especially if you were playing Aggravain. I wouldn't know about that, though, clearly. Oh my god. No,
I was playing Murakumo that game.
Yeah. Yeah, as you should have. Wait, was that before or after a Phantasmal Steed?
That was after Phantasmal Steed.
Really?
I just couldn't kill them because, like...
I had more.
Both of my, what is his name? Hugas? Or not Hugas,
Shocky Vogue?
Shockies. Yeah, went to damage. And so I was just like, So I couldn't get, like, super huge numbers. So I'm just kind of, like... approximating.
That's always fun when you have the like something that's super peace reliant and then they both go to damage, like just playing Harry and Gleaming Garmor and both my Starry Pop dragons went to damage.
Get owned.
I was like, okay, I guess I just can't do what I want to do for the whole game.
I just built a Nirvana like a week ago and my friend gave me 2 Ergers and they both went into the damage zone.
No.
I know. I was like, holy shit.
But I did win that game. God. I did win that game because the Mega Coney player decked out. Which was very funny.
Isn't Mega Colony's whole thing now you just use the Gridora stride where they just can't stand their whole field next turn and then you also get a multi attack out of it? Right, where it's like on attack you counterblast or soul blast or something, flip a copy, your opponent's Vanguard and rear guards can't stand, search your deck for a grade 3 or something, call it to rear, something like that.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
for Mega Colony. They were never, like, memorable. They were just, like...
Oh, no, they were memorable. I mean, Overwhelm was, like, really good, right?
Overwhelm was a good card, but that didn't... It was just kind of too late, you know?
Yeah.
We're talking about, like, Giera Ghidorah right now?
Or V.
Oh, yeah, which one?
No, it was like
I'm pretty sure V is the one that called a grade 3 on attack.
Yeah, it did.
I think we're mixing up some cards here.
It's Guilty Empress.
Giera Ghidorah was, like, pretty sweet.
Yeah, no, this is a premium collection 2019. Guilty Empress, Darkface Ghidorah.
Oh.
Yeah. Act on Van, counterblast, turn a card face up. Until the end of your opponent's next turn, your opponent's units cannot stand in the stand phase, and your opponent cannot call units other than from hand. That's what was crazy about it.
A gold paladin killer.
Mm. Yeah, or really anything but not field building related. And then on Van, when it attacks, Soul Blast, search your deck for a grade 3, call it to rare, it gets 10k.
So you call... what's that common that Mega Colony just never stops playing?
There's a lot of those.
The purple grade 3 that has no gift.
Oh god, what's his name? Ah, I know what you're talking about.
They never stop playing this card.
There's every the one Mega Colony fan who's like, I know what it is. I know what
it is. How? Give me your power.
I'm looking for right now. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I guess we should give him a shout out because he's our friend, and he also designed our Twitter banner. It's
not dismal. It's like
Hell Demise.
Hell Demise. Yeah. Yes.
It's weird because that card like sucked actually, but then when a Ghidorah came out in V, it was used to give her like a fifth attack, which is kind of nutty.
People were actually using it in Gun and Coleo, I think.
Really?
Yeah, because basically, you know, you could just call stuff out rested, and then just help.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were still playing Machining Stag back then.
Yeah, they're either doing that or they're calling out just Antlion, but probably not as often. And then also, I know his something happened with his Twitter. So I want to make sure I get this right, because how is our friend or whatever? Damn it! It's a Vanguard Punk on YouTube, and he fucking changed it. And now I can't remember what it is.
God, Gigarex was so cool.
Which Gigarex?
I'm just looking at the
description. Oh, I assume we're talking about V Gigarex because there's no way you mean the original
Gigarex. Oh, I mean, the art is cool. It's confusing to look at, but the art is cool. But no, we're talking about V Gigarex. He's really cool looking.
That's true. I actually do like V Gaia. The deck's pretty fun.
Is it good or whatever?
No. But it is fun.
See, I was just about to be like, oh, so we're walking back what you said and during this. Oh, okay, no, he hates it.
Okay, no. So,
go ahead.
Sorry. I was just going to say, our friend is at VG Punk Aiden, AIDEN, on Twitter. It's Vanguard Punk on YouTube. Okay, I'm done. What were you going to say?
Yeah, the V Gaia deck is like... I don't know. I couldn't tell you what's missing in that deck. But it's just not enough. Especially when you compare it to the other good V-decks.
Within Tachikaze or in general?
It's just in general.
Oh, okay.
My dude, it came out in the same set as a Luard. That thing was dead on arrival.
Like, yeah, right? Luard is something.
Thank God they choice-restricted that dumb boy with Bendy in both formats.
No, they just banned Bendy.
Yeah, they just banned Bendy.
Oh, that's right.
Straight up. Yeah, they choice restricted him with Nemain.
Oh, that's right.
No, they choice restricted.
Yeah, in V format, they
Ragheart with Nemain in V.
Yeah, yeah.
And in premium, they just banned Bendy.
Yep. So that we just cannot have any more grade accelerating bullshit.
Yeah, leave it to Ezreal, I guess.
Yeah, Luard is still pretty good in V. Because of course it is. But so is Spectral, dude. And mostly, it's true.
Yeah, Gurd did good. Prism. In V. Are you guys gonna play anything in V, or are you skipping it?
I'm gonna pretend that I can dodge premium every round of every event I ever play in V.
Oh my god. It's so much better now, though. Wait, premium or Vmium?
Vmium.
V-premium, sorry.
Vmium, yeah.
I don't want to deal with Prism in that format.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Prism is gross.
I don't actually know what it does. I just know that everybody hates it.
Just have shields forever?
Yeah.
We're fist. I'm kidding. I'm not gonna
He's gonna play Orphis
with like five attacks.
It's actually worse. Yeah, Orphis with five attacks.
Yeah. That's called a callback, ladies and gentlemen.
So step three Orphis. Cool. No, that's only four.
Wait.
Yeah.
What if down the line there's a way to get a five attacks with your Orphis?
Okay, so I actually thought about this a lot because we're getting
new forms.
We're getting new forms. Are they gonna leave Zorga? In the dust, because we are getting 15 triple rares in set 4.
Jesus.
Yeah, we are. Which I'm assuming that means a triple rare per ride line, because I think there's 3 ride lines per nation. Yeah. So, yeah. Thank God.
15 triple Rs. What was in set 3? Oh, they only had 10. Damn, you're right. They're just having triple Rs for theoretically everything.
Theoretically,
although Dragon Empire would have 4 ride lines now because of the new TD.
Right. Because he got weapons and shit.
I have a really dumb question that no one's going to want to answer. Do you think that every nation will get 3 of those triple Rs?
Yes.
I want to say yes.
God.
I want to say yes, but they've been so bad about it.
Have they? I'm pretty sure everybody's got.
No, indeed, they've been good about it. It was in V that they were just atrocious about it.
I mean,
looking at you, Paladin.
Yeah, Shadow Paladin's like, how many? We're gonna take like 6 of these. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, see, here's the thing: is like in set 3, they gave like the second triple R slot for. It was like one for the new ride line, and then one for the like set ride line. Jesus Christ, my brain. But then, because like Brantgate, you have Gravidia and then a cardinal card for Brantgate. I think Stoikea, you got Cloak Flagberg and then Cloak Shadow, which was for Zorga. And then just randomly in Dark States, they were like, you know what, Baro Magnus doesn't get a triple. We're gonna give another one to Bruce.
And before everybody like, oh, but you can use it in Barabangus. Yeah, but you really shouldn't.
There's like, if you're in Final Rush, oh god.
Yeah. So,
in one scale, isn't therefore it goes in the deck? I guess no, it doesn't.
Also, just randomly not supporting the TD for Lyrical in the actual set.
That was. Sweet.
Oh yeah. Didn't they get like? Or a double rare or something?
They got one double R. At this point, it seems like Kyrie Ghosts was an intentional decision on their part.
Which people wouldn't even play anyway, because a Felty Rose is sweet.
Mm-hmm. It is a pretty sweet card, but yeah, I wouldn't say Bushiroad has been doing a great job of giving everyone equal support.
But I think what I'm holding on to is the fact that every nation has the same amount of triple rares so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was mostly just asking as a joke.
Yeah. For better or for worse, they're gonna do it. Obviously, they're gonna be like, Bruce, Bastion, here is the most broken shit in all the land. You know.
And before they give a new Bruce and then a new Greedon for some reason.
That would be weird.
They've already shown like Greedon support on the stream, I think.
Yeah, but I don't know if they confirmed that those are triple rares. Given that we're getting 15 in the set, though, that's probably.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's wacky.
Hard to tell. I mean, it'd be really weird if they made a triple R meteor.
Yeah, I agree. But at the same time, I feel like this deck is so devoted to being, no, we only have these, like, two rear guards.
Yeah.
and Gravidia herself, and I will die before we get any more. Like, I feel like that's the deck right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is... I have not, like... I said this a lot in set 3 because I was very negative about that set, but I feel like when it comes to introducing new archetypes, ride lines, whatever, they're not very good at getting them up to the current power level of the existing decks.
For sure. I feel like a interesting thing they can do with the Gravidia Meteor, the new one, is that the one card itself counts as, like, a couple, so you don't have to run as much, maybe?
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Also, the case ratios on the old Meteor was, like, atrociously bad, too. So you basically need, like, an entire case of Meteors to build your deck.
Is it, like, God damn. One a box or something? Something dumb like that?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's ridiculous. Why would they do that?
I don't know. And it's a common or something? Oh, to God,
your SP is a Meteor, so you get two. I don't even know if it comes in SP, does it? Ooh.
I don't think it comes in... I don't think they made it a holo, is the worst part.
That'd
be funny, because people would, like, try to want a max rarity their Gravidia, and then need, like, you know, like, 12 SP Meteors or whatever.
Oh my God. This is making me sad.
Yep, it's just a common.
Yeah.
It's, like, one per box.
Yeah, okay, I think it does have an SP, though.
Nope, it just says common.
No, I'm looking at the wiki right now. There's an SP of it.
Oh, really?
Probably, yeah. Is there some kind of SP pack, and that's part of it or something, or...?
I have no idea. It has an SP, though,
no, it's not an SP in the set. They recently made it a promo in, like, a pack.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Oh, whack.
They literally... I think they announced that this morning.
Interesting.
So it's not really a reprint, because it's, like, what... Oh, and here's the math on it. They said that there are only 999 promo packs in general, and there's, what, like, 14 cards? In the set, air quote. So there's actually only like 70 Meteors that they're reprinting.
Oh my God!
I know.
This is a giant meme.
By the way, that counts for your bingo card. Even if someone else does math, that counts. So
I guess I did. I busted out the calculator for that one.
I would never be caught doing math.
Right. I really
my degree be damned.
That problem by the time of the English version of the set comes out, because we have till December for that shit.
I don't think they'll ever do that, and they'll just reprint a single Meteor per case in every set afterwards.
That'd be funny. Just every box has a Meteor in it for the rest of time.
It's like, not even one.
Yeah. Just. They print another Meteor, now it's a random Meteor.
I can just imagine, like, a Meteor hits L.A., I'm walking through the wreckage of my city, I come across the old site of Turn Zero, I dig through looking for anything from the old refrigerator full of sodas and candy, I come across the Meteor card.
Which somehow survived.
I grumble and move on. Like...
Oh, right, this deck existed.
Yeah. And it's like 2047. My knees are way worse than they are now. I'm like, yeah.
But the reason I even brought up set 4 is what if Orphist either gets a new form, I don't really think it needs one, or gets some sort of support that, let's say, calls a Shadow Army token mid-battle or something cute
that
like
would
that?
Be sick.
That would be what the deck is missing, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
That'd be cool if there was, like, so you have maybe a thing that's, like, if after this unit, or after this rear guard attacks or boosts, you can retire it and call a Shadow Army token. Something like that? Would that?
Sure, yeah.
All right. I think that'd be neat.
Because if... The crippling thing about the deck, especially in set 3, is the fact that I have to retire 3 dumb things to make my other dumb thing restand. Are you nuts? So right. I can't retire anything of my opponents in that turn, and I can't draw off of Thumbarino. So I think a card like that, which will recoup one, maybe, would be pretty good. And get a fifth attack.
Retiring 3, I was like, ugh, oof.
Two and Assault Blast is fine, dude. Chill out. Holy crap.
Well, especially because it doesn't get any power. It's just the 5K if you're Abyssal Dark Knight. That's it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I like to call the Cardinal Claw is because every single grade 2 has it.
Yeah, that I think that fits.
every good grade 2 just has that instead of an actual ability, and yeah, it's fine, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Orfist has been successfully defended. It's not as bad as we were making fun of it to be, but we're just kind of pessimists, so.
Yeah, I feel like you guys didn't actually think it was LOL bad. I just, no. I had a feeling it was more of like a...
I think I've only ever... I don't know if I've ever called it bad. I think I've always just said it was boring.
I do understand that its play style can be perceived as boring. I won't defend that.
Yeah.
People don't like grindy decks. Yeah. At least it's not a grindy deck that locks your board. Thank God.
True. Thank God.
I hate being like, hey, play Vanguard, and then I play Chaos. I don't like that feeling.
My favorite games of Magic were decks where me and my opponent just are playing decks of mostly dead cards, and we both have six or seven individual cards that we have to worry about, and it's just navigating the game around those. Those are the best.
I'm gonna teach
games.
You how to play Magic. I'll play blue. Like, I don't know if you should do that, man.
No, it's the blue. It's the control deck mirrors that are truly great.
Yeah.
The true test of skill.
Playing Chaos and Vanguard is the guy in Yu-Gi-Oh who's like, hey, you want to play? What do you play? Mystic Mine? I'm out. See ya.
Didn't it just get banned in the OCG?
It got put.
I think it said one or something.
I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe they did ban it, actually. Because no, sure I think they might have put it to one. The last list they put it to one, then they banned it.
Yep. Thank God.
But that card is not like, I don't know. Like, people are playing a lot of Cosmic Cyclone or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that card's pretty lame.
So, before we get out of here, apparently you have some questions for us.
I do have some questions. Didn't we also want to talk about Premium a little bit, too?
Yeah. What do you think of Premium ban list, and what are you going to play?
I think it's great. I can actually, like, approach people at my locals about it.
yeah.
Because I'm like, nah, there's, like, three decks in the format. I don't want to bother anybody with this. But now I'm building Gavrail, and I don't hate myself for thinking that it could win.
So. Hooray!
Yay.
Because that
lots
one,
of crits.
I actually don't run that build. I have Hamiel, and she's going to be fine until... Hill Guardians come out,
because
I'll fight you on this. I'm pretty sure those were a thing because cards like Hamiel exist.
Yeah, I would be really mad about the Waterfall meme deck if Hill Guardians didn't exist also.
But so I'm kind of building my list right now with Hail Guardians in mine, and I don't think I can cheese people out with Hamiel that much, so I'm focusing on more of a multi-attack with like the previous like a rescue stuff that they had in late G, and mixing that with like the black support that we got in like the last proper V set. So.
Any comment on Refro still being at one?
I didn't actually know what it did until like a week ago because I was just getting the list together, and I'm like, oh, Countercharge 2, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that card's nuts.
I can see why it wouldn't be at 4, though, but
yeah.
Then I would have to play more stands, and I don't want to do that.
That's not the point. The point was that you could loop the thing for literally forever. That
with
was
what?
Fun. Itself.
With itself?
Yeah. Because it would be like, it would just be the last few cards in the deck with itself. So you would get it when you would draw, then you just do it again. So
yeah, the old G no-CL decks would basically just tear through their deck using no-CL's like Vanguard skill, like, and then just like then start refrosing forever,
until you have like a million power.
Yeah, and then just until you have like these giant Nurse of Broken Hearts.
Yeah, there would be.
Pretty
much,
and then you could restand them.
Yeah, he took his Vanguard and triggers stand triggers because your deck is all stand triggers.
See, that's another thing that I like about the the Teal Guardians is that I don't have to run like the grade 2 and grade 3 VNOCLs that like give me damage, because they also do that.
I think Golds is going to play additional Angel and just not ever have a grade 3 to take, so they can Spear X.
I don't know why people are running that.
Because they want to Spear X.
Oh.
So if you draw additional plus a Heal Guardian, you can Spear X.
Right.
That yeah. That does make a piece reliance wherein, like, you either get the early Ezreal or the early Strive with Spear X. It's very hard to do both. That's like a 4-card combo or something.
Yeah.
But Ezreal's still very strong.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Really good deck. Just, like, getting that exact, I'm going to not only ride up on your ass, but stride on your ass. You know.
Yeah.
So.
I'm definitely very interested in, well, mostly interested in Spikes and Tachikaze. I don't think Spikes is very good.
Are you kidding me? There's so much, like, it's like almost, like, Orphis best deck.
Well,
levels of annoying about how good Hellheart 8 is.
So Heal Guardian. So normally Hellheart 8 gets a lot of like not really tempo. What's the opposite of that? Can slow the game down a bit by damage denying the opponent.
Okay.
But with the Heal Guardians, it's you can't really guarantee that.
Fair.
So you end up in a position where like you're basically your opponent can still like. Take relevant game actions without, you know, you being necessarily ready for it. So, I don't think that it's like, I don't think it's like absurdly good. I think it's like there, but I don't think it's better than like Luard or Ezreal or like Dote, I guess.
Oh yeah, but yeah, so. I think I'm working on Gavriel. Like a multi-attack variant, and then I know I want to build Nightmare Dolls.
Mm-hmm.
I think pretty much for the exact same reason Atlas was, because the new Nightmare Doll stuff that came out earlier this year.
Yeah.
And I just slap a G-Zone on it, you're good.
There's that, and then also the Heal Guardian is a Nightmare Doll, so with that grade 2...
No way!
Yeah. So the Nightmare Doll Lindy is the name, but the effect of this grade 2, let me just read this to you. Nightmare Doll Marissa, auto Vanna Ritter when placed from hand. I know that sounds bad, but it's not. Put a card from hand into soul, look at 7 cards from the top of your deck, reveal up to 2 non-grade 2 Workeroid, meaning like Nightmare Dolls usually, normal units from among them, put them into your hand and shuffle. Therefore, you can fish
for G-Guardians.
Yep, you can fish for G-Guardians out of that. But also, like, it fishes for your ride. You can get, you know, Leslie or whatever her name is, the Restander. Or basically anything. And because of how, like, much slower the soul charging is in Nightmare Dolls, where instead of, like, Harry, where you're just throwing the Magia Dolls at the wall and they go into soul, this is, like, very carefully curating your soul, building it one piece at a time.
Also Stride Fodder, I guess. But...
That too, yeah. Yeah, and then, what was it, Alice and Chelsea are decent rear guards in and of themselves, so you can...
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you can do stuff with it. Lots of cool shit.
I think I also just wanted to make a G-Zone for Gurgit because... Revival Selection, literally the Gold Paladin pack is literally like 4 strides in it, so you just get 4 of those and you have a competent G-Zone, so
yeah, seems like a good time.
Pretty good.
All this premium talk is reminding me I have an Extreme Battler deck lying around somewhere. I just need to pick
it's in a box.
I need
somewhere.
To go grab, like, yeah, probably on my desk somewhere underneath my tablet.
Oh, I recently found my old V Blade Master deck, and I'm like, oh, cool, I can use this. Oh.
Aw.
Rip.
Unfortunate.
All right. Q&A. Let's close this out right.
All right. Number one, and this all of these questions are to all of you guys. Number one, did you think you would be doing this podcast for as long as you have, and what made you decide to stick with it?
No. And it just kept happening.
Considering the game has rebooted twice, and I've, like, stopped playing the game throughout multiple points in its history, I'm honestly surprised I'm still here. I can't remember just how many of the V episodes where I was like, yeah, I don't actually play this game anymore.
I don't know if I thought I'd be doing this for this long. I realized that I enjoyed podcasting a lot pretty early into it. And that's what made me, like, branch off and start doing other ones. So I think, yeah, I could see myself still do it. As for, like, you know, what made me decide to stick with it, the routine, where these guys were my friends through college, and it's allowed us to stay in contact this whole time. And, yeah. We this would, if we didn't have this podcast, I guarantee you we would be the say happy birthday to each other on their Facebook wall once a year, people.
Oh, I don't even do that to people.
See what I mean? Yeah. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't use Facebook.
I use Facebook like I use Twitter, just to complain about work.
I use it to just repost the jokes I put on Twitter. So. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Number two. Was there ever a part in the lifespan of this game that almost made you quit? If so, what about the environment or the decisions being made contributed to it?
Root Beer, you want to take this one?
I was just going to say, like, I feel like he's got a lot to say.
Yeah, I stopped playing around GBT-13. Part of that was, like, graduating college, moving back home, not really having a locals to go to. Some of that was, like, the meta kept getting crazy, and there was a lot of negativity around the game. Like, that was back when I still went on Proof's Discord, and it started getting really negative there, so I, like, didn't go on as much. You know, didn't really go to my locals because it's, like, 40 minutes away by bus, and it's super inconvenient.
Did you stop interacting with the game, like, in general? Like, you didn't even look at new stuff coming out?
I've never completely quit the game cold turkey because of this podcast, but, so, I would always keep up with, like, reveals and discussions and stuff just because of this, but in terms of, like, interest in the game, I think end of G era was I was very zoned out of the game. I think similar things happened in V around, like, Luard.
If you said end of G, when did you turn back on to it?
When V era started, because, you know, rebooting the game, it seemed promising, and then I think I started...
OTT best deck, let's go! Yeah.
Yeah, but I think I checked out of V pretty early, actually. It was probably when, like, what was that one card that stopped you from rewriting? The Murakumo card.
Oh my god.
Arrestor? Zanbaku? Yeah.
Yeah, Zanbaku. Because, you know, I was on OTT at the time, like, oh, this just stops my deck from working. And, like, Excel decks at that time were, like, pretty bad too, so I was, like, I was vaguely interested in Pale Moon because it was the only option. One of the few options aside from, like, Nova Grappler, which was also really bad at the time. And that wasn't great. Then I think Maelstrom was also not amazing on release. And
oh
so
my
I was like,
god. Oh my god, Counterblast. Counterblast won for 2K to front row.
That's my favorite skill.
It's somehow better than Tetra Drive Counterblast 1 to give itself 2K. Oh my god.
Yeah.
And then, like, third, fourth battle, if your rear guard hits the vanguard, discard 2 restand. Which, you know, when it came out, that was just, like, so bad.
It was really good if your opponent couldn't read.
Yeah.
Hey, it got good in the Glory Maelstrom set.
Yeah, that's and true. Then they released the other Maelstrom support that's like, okay, the restand just activates all the time now.
Yes, it was so good.
But yeah, Maelstrom got good eventually and became a $30 card, but, like, you know, It was just like early days, like none of the clans I liked playing were good or relevant.
Okay. So and so then, there was no point before late G that you tipped off almost completely?
Yeah, I think I kept up with the game just because, like, we were in college, we got together to play, you know, we go to locals on the weekends together, so... Okay. Yeah, I kept up with it basically until graduation, where I dropped off just because wasn't in the environment to play often. There was a lot of negativity on, like, online channels, so I kind of checked out, and then I would pop in periodically for V, but it just... But V format just kept getting worse and worse with every set, and so I checked out again.
Okay.
Yeah, about the same. GBT13 was so stupid that I kind of stopped doing it. Like, I would never stop paying attention to card releases because this podcast continued to exist. But I would definitely, like, stop. Like, for a large portion of the pandemic, I just didn't play for a long time just because there was no one to play with. Like, when this ban list got, you know, released, I literally had to blow the dust off of my Great Nature. It was sitting on my desk in a box that I would use to elevate my computer for when I was recording Generation Dan or whatever.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. And again, like, the podcast is the bones to the squishy gelatin body that is my interest in Vanguard. Whenever that goes soft, the bones keep it in place.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you, Matt?
Yeah, there are plenty of times I fell off, mostly due to huge life events.
Okay.
Yeah, like moving from California to the East Coast was a big one. Then, like, after the, you know, after the fire or whatever.
Bingo.
So there's just various times where I'm just, like, kind of wasn't into it. And, like, I think through V era, I was pretty okay early on. Then Bermuda came out, and I was very not okay with it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think your horn about Murakumo. I don't think you ever have a right to be mad at the game of how well they treated.
Oh yeah, Murakumo. Yeah. No, totally. No, Murakumo was good every single time. I'm saying tier one every single time they got support. Even Zanbaku was very good.
Yes.
People just thought you needed to do the counterblast 2 thing ever, and you're just like, no, you can't reride. Oh my God. And that was good enough. But I think the kind of thing that kind of made me really sour on V was when they started making a lot of kind of gift stacking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right when you had, like, these decks generating just, like, tons and tons of gifts.
Is it weird to think that I feel like that was the only way that V could have gone into, like, interesting power crate, given the format it's in? Is that weird to think that, or could they have done something more creative,
I feel like they could have done something more creative because they were definitely trying to, if you look at things like Harry.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the V-Clan stuff. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it's just that, like, it's just kind of too late once you've printed stuff like, like Gurgoit and... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Luard.
That's fair.
Yeah, so I think they definitely did try at some point, but it was kind of already, like... Well, these cards already exist, so good luck.
So it's interesting because, like, the reason I asked this question is because I started in late G. I don't really have a frame of reference for, like, how people received, like, early, like, a Boomer Vanguard and stuff like that. So.
Oh, yeah. So, back in ye olden days. So,
when I was your age.
And back, so this is, let's go back to...
You can actually say that, I'm not very old.
if we go back to kind of like the very early sets of Vanguard, so like 1-2-7, or 1-2-6, the order we got them in. Yeah. So there wasn't really anything, like, people, there were decks that got played a lot, like a lot, like Spectral Duke got like a lot of play, but people were just kind of like, it was a pretty new game, people were just kind of playing, right? Mm-hmm. And like, the best decks basically just came up pretty easily. Like, Dote was obviously very good. MLB was very good.
you know, decks that got crits had restanders, obviously, were all very good. People didn't really get... I didn't feel like a lot of people at that time were like, oh, like, dissatisfied in big ways. I think people were, like, dissatisfied with, like, their clan not getting support because, like, Meg Colony hadn't had support. Like, so if we, you know, if we go to, like, BT12, right? Meg Colony hasn't had support in, like, 10 sets. So maybe there's some people who are mad about that.
So it's more of a people didn't play the game long enough to see the really high highs of the game to be able to complain about what could have maybe been low lows. I don't know. I guess.
Possibly. Yeah, but I can't think of any. I think the time that people got like really sour about the game is Legion era.
Really?
Oh boy.
Yeah, so Legion
was
era...
it just because like every clan only got one wave, or it was so short, or
that's the thing, is so... not every clan even got one wave.
Yeah. So one thing that ended up happening is you ended up having like these so early in Legion era, the game it was mostly whatever, and then like when you got like Musketeers and Gold Paladin, a lot of people really liked those clans. And those decks just took, like, a billion years to operate.
Because of all the shuffling and then rechecking top four.
Yeah, they didn't really do anything. It was mostly just spinning your wheels. But, like, especially in the case of Musketeers. But, like, so I just didn't feel like waiting for 40 minutes while people played out those matches.
Especially since, like, the Legion mechanic in general, like, prolonged the game, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Up until we got Regalia and Shadow Paladin.
Yeah, that's fair.
I remember OG podcast episodes where you guys talked about this. This was before I joined.
Yeah, Yggdrasil and Revenger Abyss would just end lives.
Because it would be crit and guard restrict or crit and restand, right? That was the...
Yeah. You're just like, well, how do I guard this? It's like, how big is that? You know, like 50k, no cheese, and you're like, All right. And a crit? Perfect. Hit me.
And this was before we had, like, G-Guardians or anything like that, so you had to use the 10k triggers.
Oh, I remember, actually, specifically the very first thing people got really upset about was the Cat Butler interaction with Legion.
Right! That was fun.
The Cat Butler could restand your Legion because it had a grade 2 in it.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
And then when one stood, the other went with it.
People quit the game over that, straight up. That was the first time I remember people being like, I'm done.
That's kind of insane.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think that's the first time like I remember like there being like local like that was I was at HSI in California and people were just like actively upset about this.
Yeah.
Okay.
It would be a thing because before if you sucked it would just be like, ugh, what a pain in the ass. With the Cat Butler thing, they were just like, alright, you know what? I'm done. I'm out. Bye. See ya.
I remember people writing emails to Bushiro and tell SEA about it to try to figure out the ruling before we got mad about it.
Yeah.
And then they responded and everyone was just mad.
Okay. And wasn't Angel Feathers Legion like a promo?
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of them were promos.
Great Nature's was, Pale Moon's was, a lot of them were.
Dark Irregulars.
Yeah.
Murakumo.
Yeah, I think like everything that didn't get a main set just got a promo or like a Legion in G era when it was like way too late.
Yeah,
I will say this though: the Spike Brothers Legion deck was nuts.
Yeah, we've told that story with Jared tons of times. Yeah,
God,
And
love Bat and Dragger. I love that card so much.
The Great Nature one wasn't terrible. Tester Fox was all right, but wasn't the best thing in the world. Wasn't taking tournaments by storm. Just pretty good.
I love Bat and Dragon. That card's sick.
Even the current one, the V series one, or
I like the V one.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that one's actually pretty sweet.
I think people are moving away from the Hellheart 8 and more toward just like aggressive, like
spikes good stuff.
Yeah, good spike stuff because they have a good early game.
You could be.
Yeah.
I want to try to mishmash some combination of Bad End, like the V Bad End with like the more
Isn't there good end dragger or something that they were?
Yeah, so you can good end dragger, and then like at the end of battle, you can ride on the bad end on your vanguard circle, like another bad end, and like, I don't know, you could even be like a bull spike. It could be a rising or whatever. Yeah. Right?
Wait, yeah. How did we talk about premium and vemium, and you didn't mention Daikaiser once?
So I played a lot of Dimension Police in G. And before that, honestly. But I actually never bought into Dimension Police in B.
No, but I mean now with like the new Daikaiser coming out. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, no, I don't own Dimension Police stuff. Oh, all the Dimension Police stuff I owned I sold. And then anything I had remaining would have been lost in the fire.
Oh damn, okay.
Yeah. So I just don't own Dimension Police cards.
That sucks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they still haven't unbanned Laurel.
Yeah, Laurel
still at one. Yeah,
for some reason.
All right, one more because we're getting up there in time.
One more.
One more.
Okay, I had six, but I guess I'll condense it to three. All right, I'll pick the best one then. Okay, this one, I guess this is why I made it the sixth one, because it's the most fun one to add on. But if money wasn't an issue, which deck in your Vanguard career would you have maxed out because you love it that much?
Maxed out rarity-wise?
Yes, and it doesn't necessarily have to be like from your favorite clan or something. It could be like the favorite deck you played mechanically and stuff like that, if that makes sense.
Okay. That's a good question. I think this is going to be a weird one. Blade Wings in Darker Regions.
Oh. I played when Blade Wing Assassins was a thing.
Yeah, Blade Wing.
The G era one though.
Yes,
right?
The G era Blade Wing Enigmatic Assassin was so goddamn fun, and I think having like you know SP'd Blader Mouses and all that stuff and the rest of the deck. Like I wish they found a way to bring it back because I would honestly play it. I like that idea of the defensive make your shields bigger thing. Yeah, that's probably what I would do, because I learned my lesson about not SPing out decks as I sit and look at my glass case full of big bellies. So, Blade Wings.
That's how I feel about Orphis. Whenever that deck becomes just, like, garbage, or they reboot the game for a sixth time, I'll just take, because I have an SP of the ride line, the crit, and the heal, and I'll just frame them.
Yeah, no, it.
Put them on my wall.
It looks nice. I like the way it looks. It's just like one of those things. Like, remember, don't do that shit again.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the people who bought RLR Harrys, right?
Definitely.
Or worse, RL Night Rose, but that card was already like something.
Yeah. What about you, Matt?
So, I'm kind of torn because I would want to say my favorite deck of all time is the GBT05 era or Cosmic Roar, I guess, Daikaiser Sinbuster deck.
Okay.
Fuck that thing!
That deck is quite possibly my favorite deck of all time. But the problem is max rarity, the SPs don't look that different because there's no full art SPs, right?
Right. That didn't come till later.
Which is really sad to me because like I think the full art SPs look really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like really good. But I think if I had to like magically own like and like a max rarity deck of some kind, it probably would have been like late Gears in G. Because that deck was sick.
Ooh, if you did that, then you would have an SP of, like, what they used to be longest card name?
Yeah, for sure. But, yeah, that deck was actually sick.
Okay.
What is that?
Daikaiser Leon.
No. Well, not as far as, like, full art SPs, the Gears deck.
Oh.
The one with Cartajet. Like
Heritage or whatever.
Heritage,
it's called?
Yeah. Heritage is such a sick card.
I agree. He looks so cool.
Somebody on that one.
Okay. That's fair.
What about root beer?
Probably like G era prisms.
Mm,
that was a fun deck with Sunshine Vert.
I guess I'd expect that from a Bermuda Triangle player. I'm kidding. You're funny. It's interesting. It's actually really interesting that none of you said any deck that would have looked a shinier. Like, you didn't go for a purely like aesthetic choice.
Well, I did pick Gears because I couldn't have a full art SPs in the old DP deck.
Okay.
So that was
so great. Like an SP Bermuda deck would have like so much alternate arts.
True. Oh, duos, true. Baby.
Gotta get those feet.
Oh my! Have you guys seen the guy on Vanguardians who complained about how the trial deck, the lyrical ride line in the trial deck are all mermaids, but they don't have like mermaid tails? He's like, this is an outrage. I have to get SPs to get fins. Oh my god! Like.
And then all the boomer Vanguard people are just like, bitch, it was the other way around for us. You shut up.
Have I mentioned yet how much I hate Vanguardians?
yes, he has.
Vanguardians is so obnoxious.
I love making fun of people on there, but that's kind of it.
To answer your question about why we didn't pick it based off of like how shiny it was, at the end of the day, it's a game that I play for fun, and I would rather have a deck that I had the most fun with.
Oh,
be the shiniest, then the deck that was the shiniest to begin with be shinier.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Cole, thank you so much for coming on Nexus at Night and for supporting us.
yes, sir.
Where can people find you and follow you and all that good stuff?
So, I was kind of, I guess, a little bit of a delinquent because my computer didn't want to cooperate with me, but I was actually going to try to upload an Orphist deck profile.
Ooh.
But I'm still working on it, so I'll just shoot you the link if you want when I get it uploaded.
Okay.
But other than that, at SupersonaBro on Twitter, and I think that's the only thing that I would want people to find me on. I don't really do anything on Twitter anyway, but if, you know, if they want to yell at me for saying Orphis is a good deck, then
yeah.
I guess that's where they do it.
Yeah, that's half the fun. How do you spell Sauna Bro?
It's just Sonic, but replace the C with B-R-O.
Oh, okay.
Also not a supersonic reference, is something else. But...
Found you, Super Sauna Bro. All
right. Oh, wait, are you also playing Melty Blood? Hold on.
I am playing Melty Blood. I've been enjoying it.
Same.
I guess I also have like a personal YouTube. A Silver Sky SYLVER space Sky. Not the channel I'll be putting the deck profile on, but it's the one that actually like has stuff on it already. So.
Okay. That'll be down in the show notes / description. Yeah, you can find the show at Nexus at Night, Twitter, Instagram. Support us, patreon.com/nexusatnight, like Cole and Darren and Josh have done so graciously. To Darren and Josh.
They're next.
Yeah, you guys are next at some point. Please reach out to us about whatever it is you want to do. And then how about the rest of us?
You can find me, Matt, on Twitter at Wiggums, 2 G's, 2 Z's.
You can find me at Plasma Eclipse.
And then you can find me at Atlas Novak, Twitter, Instagram, or check out my other podcast, Generation Dan, on Twitter or on any podcast app or YouTube. It's a Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z comedians, and we're all yelling at each other. So it's a good time. I cannot believe how long this episode has gone, but thanks for listening, and until next time, I was Atlas.
I'm still Matt.
I'm Root Beer.
I'm Cole.
And have a good night, everybody.